morning with initiative to move, so I make it harder.
Don't hold back.
If you think about it, so many people do be cool and look smarter.
Don't hold back.
Shouldn't even care about those roses in the air and the crooked stairs.
Cause
there's a party over here, so you might as well be here with the people care.
Welcome back, NFP Nation, to the Cover 2 podcast. I'm your co-host, Matt Bowen, joined as always by the NFP's Director of College Scouting, Wes Bunting. And Wes, we have a lot to talk about today. It was a late night for me with the Patriots game. Fantastic finish by the Colts. I get done writing. Rambo First Blood is on. I have to watch some of that. So I'm a little, I'm dragging a little bit, but I'm ready to go. Let's go right into it, Wes. Let's talk about, you know, the Pats and the Colts. You know, people are calling this the game of the year. I'm not buying that stuff yet, but it was a good, entertaining football game. It was pretty sloppy at points, but, you know, let's get right into it, Wes. What about the decision? I didn't like the call. You know, the reason I say that is when you're have a fourth down and you got a 6-point lead and then the game you punt the football just because those guys in defense are getting a paycheck too. That's how it always is. These guys aren't playing for free. They're paid professional athletes. You got to let them play. And I'm not buying the confidence stuff and all that, but you know, just let them play. Let these guys play. Let them try to make a play and win a game for you. Because I'll tell you what, down the stretch of the season, the defense is going to have to make a play for the Patriots and in the postseason, because we know New England's going to the playoffs. This defense is going to have to make a play. But now you're looking at, you know, Indy is three games up in New England. You know, New England wins that game last night. We start talking about a home field advantage. Who's it going to go to? But now, you know, I just see Indy getting home field. It's going to be tough for New England to go back there and win during the playoffs. I didn't like the call, Wes. Tell me why you did like it.
I liked it for one reason, Matt. And if you're going to give the ball with under 2 minutes left to Peyton Manning, you know the guy's unstoppable. And I think that's what Belichick felt, whether he gives him the ball at the 28 or whether he gives him the ball at his own, at the Colts' 30-yard line. 10-1, the guy's going to go down the field, score a touchdown, and make the play to win the game. When you look at what the New England Patriots were able to do all day, Brady goes for 375. They have mismatches all over in the secondary. I mean, the Colts are missing three-quarters of their starters in the secondary. We have no Bob Sanders to be found. We have two rookies manning the cornerback spots. I think he just liked his matchup. And if he knows, if he can convert the first down, they win the game. And I think he has more trust with his best player, Tom Brady, thrown to his best players on the offense, to Welker, to Moss, to Watson. I just think he liked that matchup a lot more than having to try to get his, you know, defense, who has been struggling to stop Peyton Manning, who gets the ball with 2 minutes left, who he knows he's not going to be able to stop. I kind of like the call, and I know everyone can judge it, and, you know, in hindsight, it's tenfold, but I like the call, and I thought if they would have, everyone would have been calling him a genius today if he would have got it. Right. So that's my point, but.
You know, Wes, they picked him off twice already. I mean, the Pats defense was making some plays, and you are right, though. You know, let's say if this is Sean Payton making that call, everyone's going to love it, you know, but Belichick's a defensive coach. And this is nothing towards Belichick's coach. This is one decision out of a million decisions he's made in his career. But I'm not buying it, Wes. I'm shooting you down this one. I'm not taking it. And I'll tell you what. Why do you play cover two against Randy Moss? I know they're a Tampa 2 football team. But if you saw on the big touchdown last night, what the Patriots did was sweet because they motioned him down.
Yep.
They motioned a guy towards a formation in cover two that – takes away the jam at the line of scrimmage. And if you have a free release by Randy Moss against the Saints, I don't care if it's Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu, I'm still going to take Moss.
Or Matt Bowen.
When I played against Randy Moss in my career, I played like 30 yards off the ball and just backpedaled like I stole something. I mean, yeah, that's a bad matchup. And that's why New England's great, because he is still unstoppable at his age. When you give Brady time, he's going to make plays. But you know, at the end of the day, Wes, give credit to New England. They won the game. It wasn't conventional. It wasn't what anyone expected. But, hey, they're 9-0. They're still perfect.
Yep.
They're still perfect.
And who can stop Reggie Wayne one-on-one? I think the guy's unbelievable. Quintessential pro, ideal route runner. Him and Manning have it going on. Just love what he does, the professional attitude he brings week in and week out. He's as unstoppable as Moss is, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, he is. And Peyton Manning is great. It was a great show.
It was
a great show. But I'm not buying best game of the decade, any of that crap. It was a great show, but let's move on. It's just one game in the regular season. Let's move on. You know, I'll be honest. I wrote about it this weekend, you know, Dallas going to Lambeau. And I talked mainly about the offense because the offense is going to have to use the three-step game, the bubble screen, the screen to Grant, the draw to Grant, anything to combat that Dallas pressure. But how about Dom Capers' game plan? This is the reason I'm saying this, Wes, is I've played on teams that have had good defenses under Greg Williams in Washington that had really bad offenses. And what you do in that situation is you have to create field position. You have to create turnovers. You have to keep points off the scoreboard. And that's what they did. I think this is what Green Bay has to do the rest of the year, is play defense like that, because we know. I mean, the offensive line in Green Bay is terrible. That's just, I mean, you try to be polite, you try to be kind about it, but they're not very good. Aaron Rodgers is going to get sacked multiple times every week. But if you play defense like this, you give them a short field to work with, that's how you win. I know this is an ugly game. I know it was, you know, 3-0 at halftime. But this is the style of football that if you're a Packer fan, get used to, because this football wins. And this will win in the NFC North. And if you want to get a wild card spot, especially with Michael Turner out now in Atlanta, there's a little door that's opened up. Play defense and you'll win a lot of football games.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. And they're not a team that can go 5-7-step drop, run vertical routes down the field, because not only is Aaron Rodgers going to get murdered back there, but the guy's going to turn the football over. And sure, he was sacked a couple times yesterday, but no interceptions. That is a key for the Packers. They can't put that defense in unmanageable down-distance situations, put them behind the chains, and make them defend, you know, only 30 yards every time. You have to love the turnovers with the Packers, what you were talking about. Charles Woodson, guy has a sack, a pick, and 2 forced fumbles. I mean, give me a break. And you're getting production from guys. Nick Barnett, 2 sacks yesterday, rushing inside. The rookie, Matthews, getting a sack off the edge. I think, you know, they can be stout up front, and they can bring pressure. They have the guys that can cover on the outside. And I agree with everything you had to say, Matt, that defense, they're going to have to win, be a bit more conservative on offense, and be content to punt the football and not turn it over and give the opposing offense manageable, you know, situations on the field.
Yeah, and I liked Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Everyone's going to say, you know, you're still pumping Rodgers, but the guy gets his butt kicked every week. He made some big-time throws. The third down throw to Finley was great, and I just like this guy because he hangs in there and he knows he's going to take a beating. You know, talking about, like I just led into it, with Atlanta and Michael Turner, that's a bad injury, Wes. That's a real bad injury. You know, and some people are saying high ankle sprain. Some people are saying it's not that serious. Obviously, we're not going to know anything until the injury report comes out on Wednesday. But I'll tell you what, you lose Michael Turner, the way he's been running the football, and Atlanta's got some serious problems because they already are young and inexperienced on defense, especially in the secondary. This is going to go back to what kind of hurt him at the beginning of the season when the entire game plan falls in the lap of Matt Ryan at quarterback, and you lose that balance. You lose that consistency from the running back spot. And I'll tell you what, don't count out Carolina yet. I mean, I know they were terrible at the beginning of the season, but you look at their game plan with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. If Jake Delhomme doesn't turn over the football, this is a tough team to beat because, you know, the way I look at it is Stewart and Williams are the equivalent of Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams for the Dolphins. I mean, two tough running backs. They run the football better than anyone in the NFC. And I think we ought to, you know, at least pay attention to him, don't you think, Wes?
Yeah, and I like the job Musim Muhammad's done because we know they don't have any playmakers besides Smith on the outside. And I think Muhammad's done a nice job stepping up in the possession role, and instead of Delhomme just trying to force feed Smith down the field, you know what? We got a big 6'5", long arm receiver. Let's get him the ball, try to open up some things. We know the running game's going to be on their side all game, and the defense has played a little bit better, especially in that second half. Granted, it's when Turner was out and all the game plan falls on Matt Ryan, and I think it's safe to say, Matt, that, you know, we hyped up Matt Ryan. He's going to be a great quarterback, but can he carry an offense by himself right now? I don't think the answer is yes. I think he needs a running game to work off play fakes. He doesn't have the strongest of arms, but this loss of Turner, if he's out for any extended period of time and they have to go with Snelling or Norwood, I think that's going to really hurt the offense, and we're going to see Ryan's quarterback rating drop quite a bit.
Especially for my fantasy team, because Turner is one of my feature backs. So I'm going to be scrambling this week as well. But I agree with you, Wes. I mean, the only quarterback that can win without a running game in this league is Peyton Manning, because he's the best quarterback in the league. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough spot for Atlanta right now. Gonzalez is going to have to make tons of plays. The receivers have to make a lot of plays. They're going to have to find another way to score, another way to move the football. I'd be a little worried if I'm a fan of the Falcons right now. And if I'm a fan of the Panthers, I got some hope that this team can make a push. You know, Tampa Bay, Miami, kind of an ugly game. You know, tell me this, Wes. You know, this is the second week in a row that Josh Freeman, the rookie quarterback for the Bucs, has played pretty well.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder, why wasn't this kid playing in week 4? You know, when they started off so poorly, why did they give him a shot then? Because I like what I see from this kid. I think he's going to be good. And they're playing a lot better football. It's almost like they're rallying around this guy, rallying around the coaching move, kind of what we're seeing in Tennessee too. But I like what I see from this kid. And you look at Miami, you know, it's the same thing for Miami every week. You know, Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams go for 184 together, two TDs. Now Brown's banged up with this short week going against the Panthers. That's something we'll discuss later in the week. But it's the same thing every week for Miami. I'll tell you, they're a team you don't want to play. Every team in the NFL, that's the team I don't want to play. As I know they're going to beat me up. I know I'm going to have guys in the training room on Monday. They don't win impressively. They don't have a lot of playmakers, but they're just tough to match up with.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Freeman, especially having to watch Jamarcus Russell every week, Matt. I mean, this guy, you know, you look at the physical skill set. He's right there with a guy like Jamarcus Russell, but he understands the game so much more. He doesn't have to make every throw. He's content to buy time, and he's so physically impressive, especially when he buy time, rolls out of the pocket, almost looks like a Dante Culpepper in his prime. I mean, guys can't bring him down with arm tackles. He knows when to throw the football away. Only had one interception this week, none last week. Guy's been a rookie. First two starts, has only thrown one pick and four touchdowns. It's a pretty solid performance. They don't have much of a run game to lean off of. So I think the future for this kid's going to be really bright. I think it's going to be a really good quarterback class, to be honest, with Stafford and Sanchez, Freeman. You look at the Miami Dolphins. I think they're bringing Chad Henne along slowly. He's finally starting to make some throws, but that offense starts and ends with the Wildcat, Ricky and Ronnie Brown. And it is a bit of a concern with Ronnie Brown being banged up now. Certainly Ricky can carry the load, but you have to wonder. He is, you know, 33, 30, whatever he is. Can he consistently, you know, handle the physical pounding of being the lead back for that offense if Ronnie can't be able to go?
Yeah, and the Wildcat. You know, this might be a game when Pat White really actually starts to play and become part of this offense, because if Ronnie Brown's out, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can put Ricky in the gun and let him do that, but Ronnie Brown's so sweet at doing that. He's so patient at running the ball. You know, we go over to Minnesota, and I'll tell you what, Wes, you know, of all the players, everyone has benefited from Brett Favre being in Minnesota. The entire team has, even the defense, the special teams players, everyone has benefited because he's so good this year. I'll tell you what, Sidney Rice, he was just a guy last year, Wes. He was just a guy. But Favre has made him his number one target. And the thing that I like seeing is he throws the ball up to him. What I mean by that for listeners out there is he gives the guy a chance. You know, in the NFL, guys aren't just open. They're not just running wide open. Like you saw yesterday with Brandon Marshall. Those are busted coverages. Guys are not open. You have to give your guys a chance. And Favre's a great quarterback for that because he doesn't care. He'll throw it. He'll throw it. If you're covered down the field, he's still going to throw it. Rice is going up and making plays.
Yeah, I agree. And exactly what you said with Brett Favre and what he does with Sidney Rice is kind of what Matthew Stafford has to learn to do with a guy like Calvin Johnson.
Yes.
I got Calvin Johnson on my fantasy team, trade deadline deal. So I had to watch the big guy yesterday, and they finally had a little chemistry going, look a little more comfortable. However, though, when Calvin Johnson's running down the field one-on-one and the safety's late coming over, you don't overthrow the guy. You give him a chance to go up, make a play on the football, and watch. And like you said, Sidney Rice go up and consistently do that. Brett Favre knows when it's appropriate to slightly underthrow a football, let his guy go up. I think that's what Stafford has to do. A solid step for Stafford yesterday. Sure, you know, they were outmanned. He made some bad plays, but the guy took care of the football. No interceptions, had a touchdown. No rushing game again. But I think this is a pretty decent building step for the Lions. You know, they're not obviously from a talent standpoint where the Vikings are, but you want to see your quarterback and your receiver start to develop. And I think that was a positive step for them yesterday.
It was. And Minnesota is the quietest 8-1 team of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't talk about them enough because they just keep winning. I mean, Adrian Peterson was awesome again yesterday. I mean, that's a very good football team, folks. I mean, a very good team.
I like Ray Edwards stepping up, too, yesterday. You know, he's going to get one-on-one all year next to Allen on the opposite side. Guy has two sacks, and if he's able to pick his game up and give them two legit pass rushers, that front four is scary.
Yeah, they are. Going to New York, Wes, I'll tell you what. I wrote about it today in my Sunday Rewind. The Jets defense isn't what it was hyped up to be. And maybe some of that was a lot of self-promotion by Rex Ryan and his own players. But Maurice Jones-Drew carved them up yesterday. They've lost five of their last six games. I mean, we all bought the hype. We all drank the Jets Kool-Aid early in the season, especially they beat the Patriots. But I'm not buying them anymore. I can't buy them at all. And you look at the Jags are 5-4. Not a great record, but they're right in the mix. And that was a huge game when it comes down to January. When it comes to the end of the season, you start, you know, dissecting this playoff picture. That was a big game. That's an AFC loss for the Jets and a head-to-head loss. And I can't buy them as a wild card team anymore.
No, I can't buy Jacksonville either, Matt. But no. For the Jets to lose this one, I mean, this is a game you look on paper that if they're going to be a playoff team, they need to win. And I just don't think from the quarterback standpoint, it's hard to make the playoffs when you put pressure on your rookie quarterback to make plays. Sanchez, 2 picks again yesterday. The guy's going to be good. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But when you're trying to, you know, we look at Flacco last year. He had that great defense to lean on behind. And I think the Jets think they can do that. But their defense doesn't stack up the same way as the Ravens do. They have to put more pressure on Sanchez, force him to make more throws. And he's just not capable of doing that yet. And unless Sean Green and Thomas Jones carry the load and let him consistently work off the play action game, I don't think he's quite as effective or ready to take the reins of this offense. I think the Jets, they're, you know, not as talented as we thought defensively. With a rookie quarterback, this is not a playoff team.
No, I think the Pats are going to mop them up.
Yep.
The next time they play, it's going to be a blowout. New England's so much better than the Jets are right now, and that's just how it is. That's the reality of the situation. Let's talk about a great team, Wes. I mean, everyone keeps saying, well, they're just the Bengals. They're just the Bengals. You know, we can't buy the Bengals. The Bengals have swept the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is tremendous football. And I'll tell you what, their defense was nasty yesterday, Wes. Just downright nasty, because when Cedric Benson goes out of that game, I'm watching this game yesterday afternoon, I'm saying, there's no way. There's no way they're going to be able to win without Benson. You know, they're not going to be able to run their offense. You know, they're not going to be able to throw the ball downfield. And they didn't have to, because their defense was good. They got to play in the kicking game. And they kicked Ben Roethlisberger's butt yesterday. Roethlisberger finished 20 of 40. He was sacked 4 times. They're in the backfield. And they had 10 PBUs, too, as a defense. They're all over the field. And give some credit to Mike Zimmer. I know Marvin Lewis is, I mean, he's definitely a candidate for Coach of the Year, but Mike Zimmer, man, his defense is playing tough.
Yeah, when you called me up, Matt, asking my, you know, humbled opinion on who's the coordinator of the year, and I said Zimmer. He's got to be up there with Greg Williams, this and that. This case right here, I mean, that front four whipped the offensive line of the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. Didn't give Roethlisberger any time. The run game was completely shut down. And you look at the offense. I mean, Palmer throws for 178. Coles is the leading receiver. Ocho Cinco, 2 catches for 29 yards. If you look at the stat line, you're thinking, wow, the Steelers must have mopped him up. That's the defense that we saw. But the Bengals' defense was right there with him yesterday. Special teams was the key. It was a field goal contest all day. But, hey, they made a big play in the kicking game. And when you have two offenses that struggle against two talented defense, special teams is that X factor. And the Bengals found a way to win. So you have to tip your hat to them.
Yeah, and it's AFC North football.
Yeah.
It's not pretty at all. It is. I mean, it's ugly football, but that's how you win in that division. And, I mean, this is their division to lose. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. And who's going to want to go to Cincinnati come playoff time, Matt, and play the Bengals there? I mean, it's going to be cold. It's going to be nasty. You're not going to be able to throw the ball. And they're going to get after you. So,
and, you know, you start looking at all this playoff. They could have a first-round bye, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals and the Colts could have first-round byes. Are you kidding me? But, hey, I mean, that's why they play the games. I mean, there's a lot of season left, honestly, but – they're one up on the Pats. I don't know, man. I really like that team. I really do. You know, you're talking about great defense. You mentioned Greg Williams. His defense is struggling right now. They're not stopping the run. Stevie Jackson goes for 131 yesterday, and they did not play good football. But if I'm Greg, I'm concerned about the secondary right now. Sharper was out. Jabari Greer was out. Porter goes down with the season-ending knee injury yesterday. That's 3 starters. And this defense is completely predicated on the secondary. We talk about the front seven all we want, but the secondary has to make the plays. They run covers. They run combo coverage to set up these DBs to make plays in the football. And you have to have those guys helping. But in the same regard, they're still not going to. I know it was crap football. I know it was. I wouldn't be impressed. I'll tell you what. I would not want to be in that defensive meeting with Greg Williams saying he's going to come in there with his cowboy boots on. He's going to chew people's asses. It's going to be bad. It's going to be hard to be in there. It's going to be really hard. There's going to be some spit flying in your face. But they have to play better. They got to stop the run, Wes. They got to start stopping the run defense.
Yeah, Matt, when was the last time the Rams put up 23 points? I mean, that's what I was, and I had fantasy matchups galore yesterday with Colston and Breeze versus the Rams. Freaking, right. I think this Saints team, I think they're so uptight with a 9-0 record, to be honest. Offensively, they're not the same team we saw week one, week two. And I think a loss to them, honestly, would be the best thing ever. They can get back to playing a little more comfortable, throwing the football around the field. But like you said, defensively, Usama Young made a pick yesterday. You know, Darren Sharper being the leader that he is, I see him go over. But they were picked apart. When you let Mark Bolger and the St. Louis Rams throw for almost 300 and run for 131, that's inexcusable. And Donnie Avery at 2 touchdowns. Brandon Gibson, a guy that couldn't even get on the field for the Eagles this year, he gets traded. And this guy goes for almost 100 yards yesterday. That's inexcusable. This defense, the way they played yesterday, they're not going to win many football games against quality teams with that kind of performance. So I think they have to go back, look themselves in the mirror. And I honestly think a loss would be the best thing for them right now.
I have to agree with you. They're not playing good. They look bad right now. But like we said, they're still not going to still have, you know, the one game lead on the Vikes. We'll see. But that's a team that has to get home field.
Yeah.
They're tough down there in the Superdome. They're real tough. They got to get home field. I don't know how many games it's going to take to win to do it, but they got to get it. You know, going down to Tennessee, West, I mean, I don't want to call it a save, but how many wins can this team reel off in a row with Chris Johnson playing football like this? I mean, I'll tell you, I can't say he's better than AP. Not yet. He's AP. But it's tough, man, because this guy's so good out of the backfield when he catches the ball. And the one thing I love about Chris Johnson, he's a one-cut runner. You know, he takes the ball, makes a cut, and go. And he doesn't have a second gear. He only has a top gear. The guy's so fast. You know, and now the story's out that the old man, Bud Adams, the Titans owner, gave the middle finger to the Bills sideline after the game. I mean, they're playing with a lot of swagger all of a sudden down in Tennessee. I mean, how good is this team, really?
I mean, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know if you're the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, you need to get the ball into the hands of Chris Johnson. And 9 catches yesterday for 100 yards. You know he's going to get the touches in the run game. But just give the ball to him. If you have nothing down the field, it's second and long, check it down to him. He'll make a man miss. He'll pick up 10, 15 yards. And we're going to, you know, we're going to love Vince Young right now. He's doing a great job, but he's just doing the little things. He's not forcing the football down the field to Kenny Britt, to Nate Washington. If it's not there in the run game, he's just going to check it down. There's nothing wrong with that because you have one of the best playmakers in the open field and Chris Johnson. Buffalo Bills, you know, what else is need to be said? We finally got a T.O. sighting and Lee Evans sighting the same game, and they still get blown out. Edwards, Fitzpatrick, doesn't matter who they have in. Get them out of there. I mean, if they get run on like this, the defense totally overwhelmed them. They're young on the offensive line. They're going to get better, but Edwards is not the answer. No way.
No. I agree with you. Buffalo needs to start over again this offseason. You know, Dick's probably going to get fired. They need to get a new quarterback. T.O. will be gone. That experiment was a bust. But a lot of problems in Buffalo. But, you know what's interesting about Tennessee, West, in this three-game winning streak, they're +7 in turnover ratio. And that's the Tennessee Titans of our way. Run the football, protect the ball on offense and on defense. Get your hands on the football and make some plays.
Yeah.
You wonder. I mean, this is a lot like 2006 when Vince Young came in. They put together this run. They didn't go to the playoffs, but they put together this great run. I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to do that again, but this is the type of football you expect to see out of Tennessee. It's good for Fisher. It's good for Vince Young and Chris Johnson. If you don't have DirecTV, get it to watch this guy play. He's that good. He's that good.
Yeah.
You know, speaking about a team that's struggling, I'll tell you what, Wes. I know Kyle Orton went out yesterday for Denver, but their defensive front seven is getting their butts kicked right now. They got beat up front by Baltimore. They got whipped by the Steelers on Monday night. And yesterday, Liddell Betts, one of my buddies, played with them at Iowa and in Washington, goes for 114 and a touchdown. The Skins ate up over six minutes of the clock to basically close out this game and get that score to take the lead at the end of the game. I don't know. You know, we talked about Mike Nolan, how great his defense was, Wes, but right now they're not good, and that's the reason they're losing. I know Orton was good in the first half, and I know Brandon Marshall was great. Those are blown coverages. Denver did get the deep ball going, but even with Orton in that second half, I don't think they win because they couldn't stop the Skins up front. They were mauled up front.
Yeah, we were loving Nolan all year, and, you know, rightfully so. But the Denver Broncos, they're not effective defensively unless they get into third and long situations where they can bring their athletic pass rushers. And they haven't been able to do that in recent weeks because they struggle to stop the run. I mean, granted, we bash on the Redskins' offensive line all week, but they were able to get a push. Your boy Lindell Betts, I mean, a nasty physical runner, was able just to carry the load, keep them in manageable down and distance situations. Jason Campbell did enough. And sure, they lost Kyle Orton. Sims came in and struggled, and rightfully so. But when you give up that many points, 27 yesterday, the Washington Redskins, granted, one came on special teams. That's not caliber or NFL championship caliber football that the Broncos are playing. Three losses. I mean, did we drink the Kool-Aid too quickly with these Denver Broncos team, Matt?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll see when they play San Diego, because San Diego, we'll get to them, but, you know, they're a lead open, power O, strong team. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to try to run the football down their throat. And if they don't stop, if they can't stop the Chargers run, they're not going anywhere. You can't win in the playoffs if you can't stop the run. So, you know, a lot of questions there. You know, they're going to have to win another game for me to jump back on the train. I'm just how it is.
Don't do it, Matt.
I mean, come on, man. Come on, Oakland, with your Marcus Russell. Sit him. Sit him for the rest of the year. I'm serious now. They sat him again yesterday, and then Russell's postgame quotes were, well, I don't know why Cable really pulled me. What are you looking at, man? There's a thing called accountability in the NFL, and you have to be accountable to the coach, to your teammates, to the fans, to the owner, to the GM, everyone down the line. The guy selling hot dogs, because – you're getting paid a lot of money to complete passes, to win games, and you're not doing it. After a while, you got to pull the plug in certain experiments. It's not working. The guy is worse than last year. He's worse. And give some credit to Kansas City. I mean, no, Kansas City's got a long way to go, but the Chris Chambers pickup was nice, Wes.
Yeah, that was, they gave him some balance on offense. And honestly, watching the game, Matt, I wasn't real impressed with Matt Castle. The offensive line struggles again. But the guy still throws for 216 yards. And as unimpressed I was with Castle, it boggles your mind to think Jamarcus Russell, 9 for 24 for 67 yards, Matt. They bring in Bruce Gronkowski, and he gives him a chance to win the game at the end. They drives him down the field. We finally had a Darius Hayward Bay sighting, who made a 22-yard catch on the sideline, tiptoe. And then the next play they throw, it hits him in the chest, he bobbles, and it gets picked off. I mean, the skill position players in Oakland are absolutely brutal. When you look at Russell, McFadden finally came back. He was ineffective. Darius Hayward Bay, the guy's going to have, you know, under 15 catches all season long. Just a painful performance, really, to watch. And you finally saw a light at the end of the tunnel. The Raiders are going to win. Hayward Bay is going to make a play. And he pulls off that last-second drop, knocks it up in the air. But can Gronkowski get a week to start? Sure, it's not, you know, ideal. The guy's 6'1", has a candy arm. But at least he can move the chains and threaten, you know, complete a high percentage of throws and gives the Raiders something in the pass game. Keep the defense off the field. I'm a frustrated Raiders fan. What can I say, Matt?
Yeah, I'll be honest. If you start Jamarcus Russell, you're not going to win a game the rest of the year. That's my view from right now, from, you know, the way I'm seeing things. He stinks, Wes. He's just not very good.
No.
Golly, man, what a terrible pick. All right, let's move on. Hey, we talked about before the show, Beanie Wells. He's getting a lot better for Arizona. And when Arizona can run the football and they're balanced, just like they were in the playoffs last season, and they're a scary team, it'll be a tough matchup come January, because I don't see the Niners catching them out west. You know, Warner throws 340 again yesterday. But Beanie Wells, man, that guy can hit the edge now. He's explosive. He's powerful. I know he's had, you know, durability issues, but he's healthy now. I like this Cardinals team right now.
Yeah, I do too. And finally getting Anquan Boldin back into the fray. When you have Fitzgerald outside and then you have two guys like Breston and Boldin can work the middle, Hightower catch the ball out of the backfield, it just makes Kurt Warner so much more effective when he's asked to throw the ball under 40 times a game. And sure, we say that's a ton of throws, but it's better than the 55-60 that he'll end up putting up if they don't get the run game going. No turnovers yesterday for him, efficient in the red zone. And Beanie Wells, the light's starting to go on. And we say that running backs have the easiest transition to college, but some guys, it takes a couple of weeks. And if he wasn't getting the reps in preseason, he had an injury in training camp, I mean, he's finally getting the reps. He looks comfortable, and he's powerful. I mean, Matt, could you even bring him down the open field?
No.
He's a nasty runner. He's going to be a good back in the NFL for a long time. So.
Yeah, the Cardinals are going places.
Seahawks are not.
No, Seattle, man. Seattle's got problems. They got big problems. They're going to have to revamp that entire roster this offseason. That's usually what happens when a new coach comes in. It takes a while, but, yeah, they're not very tough. I don't even know why we're spending that much time on them. You know, we talked about it just briefly before, but I love San Diego yesterday because that's what I expect out of Chargers. You know, Philip Rivers is awesome. I think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. The guy's 20, 25, 231, two tuds. But LT, man, you got to get him going. And they did. I mean, the numbers aren't going to be huge. I mean, LT's not going to average 8 yards a carry anymore. But he goes 24 carries, 96 yards, two touchdowns. They're able to run their offense. That 20-yard touchdown run he had was just off of power O. Pull the backside guard, kick out with the fullback. That's San Diego football. And we could spend all day on the Eagles, too. I don't even know where to start. But, you know, Lombardi talked about it in the preseason when I was hyping up the Eagles. Is teams that can't convert third and one have issues. Teams that can't score in the red zone have issues. Why is McNabb 35 or 55? That's way too high of a number. You know, you can even see if you watch the TV copies that McNabb's pleading with the sideline, run the ball. You know, third and one, they're calling sprint outs into the boundary. It's tough to watch because if they don't get the big play, they're done because they can't drive the ball the length of the field. But San Diego, I mean, we wrote them off a couple weeks ago. I wrote them off, but they've had two impressive wins over the NFC East. And with Denver sliding like they are, I don't know, man. It's just like every year, Wes, with Ron Turner's teams. I mean, North Turner's teams. They start out so slow, then they finally find a rhythm. They start playing good football.
Yeah, and I think, well, first I'm going to start with the Eagles. And we know if they have to travel anywhere to the West Coast, they're screwed. They're not going to win a football game. They don't travel well. And I think we've kind of brushed the lack of run game and being able to convert in third and short situations under the rug because of the mirage of the deep passing game, Donovan McNabb down the field to Jackson to Macklin. But what that does is defensively, that forces teams to play from behind. Then McDermott can draw up pressure defensively, consistently get after the quarterback, create some turnovers, short field, you know, extend the lead. Yesterday we saw from the Chargers, Tomlinson with 24 carries, Sproles had two. I mean, you're keeping Phillip Rivers from throwing the ball over 30 times. McDermott can't draw up plays to get after the quarterback, keep the sacks, the negative plays, the turnovers to a minimum. And they weren't very physical up front. I mean, we've seen Tomlinson struggle to hit 4 yards all season per carry. He was able to do that yesterday, keep the Chargers in manageable down and distance situations. And when you have a tight end like Gates who can consistently win one-on-one matchups, and you have guys like Legadu Nene who stepped up yesterday, and Vincent Jackson who had a quiet game, but still you have to give attention to him. I like the Chargers game plan, run the football, and the Eagles. I mean, this is going to, as it gets colder and the weather gets worse, this lack of run game is going to show up more and more.
Yeah, and it's just tough to watch the Eagles play football right now. Because a couple weeks ago, after they dismantled the Giants, I mean, you're talking about how great they are and how many big plays they can get, but it's just 2 weeks in a row where they've been shut down. Dallas and now San Diego, And with Westbrook getting another concussion, I don't think he's going to be back this season. I don't know if he'll ever play again, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, Shady McCoy, yeah, he's dynamic. He's not as dynamic as Westbrook. He struggles in pass protection. The bottom line is he's still a rookie. If the Eagles are going to advance to the playoffs, we'll see how a rookie performs at the biggest stage. I'd rather have Westbrook. You got some issues there, Wes. You got some deep issues. We'll see how they play out. But right now, Philadelphia scares me as a team that you can't trust. You can't trust in a big game.
Wasn't this your Super Bowl pick right here, Matt?
It was. It was San Diego over Philadelphia. So, if this was a Super Bowl, I'd be great. But yeah. it's the middle of November, so we'll get to that down the road. And we're not going to spend much time in this game, Wes, this Monday night game. I don't know why Cleveland has a Monday night game. I understand preseason scheduling. But there's no chance I'm taking Cleveland. I won't pick Cleveland against anybody right now. Against the Raiders, I'll flip a coin. But against everyone else, I won't pick them. I'm taking Baltimore. I'll give as many points as I need. Flacco and Ray Rice have big nights tonight. And Brady Quinn, we'll get to see what he does. I mean, this big quarterback change, again, see what he does against that defense.
Yeah, I agree. All the playmakers on the Ravens are going to go off. It's going to start with the run game. Flacco will have a good game. And as much as we picked on the Ravens' defense being not as good as we thought they were, as they were in years past, they're going to absolutely shut down the Browns offensively. Brady Quinn's going to struggle. No run game. Rookie receivers. I think it's going to get ugly, Matt.
Yeah, we're both taking the Ravens tonight. But in reality, the Ravens need this game.
Yeah, they really do.
I mean, they really do. As much as you want to make fun of the Browns, it's a huge game for Baltimore. They still have to play well. It's still a professional football game. You still got to execute, make plays, and protect the football. But, yeah, like you said, I'm taking Baltimore, as are you. That's going to do it, folks. You know, wrapping up another edition of the Cover 2 podcast. If you haven't revisited the first Rambo, get on Netflix and order it. You're not going to see Stallone better than he is in First Blood, with setting bear traps, defeating a whole police force and the National Guard with a hunting knife and a piece of string. You can't beat that stuff, folks. Go get Rambo and enjoy some beatings tonight in front of the TV, because you're going to turn off that Baltimore game at halftime. So prepare to have something to watch. That's going to do it. I'm for Wes Bunting. I am Matt Bowen, and we are out. See you next week.